of God that I'm still here today.
K-A-Y-T, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Gracious God, our Father, we thank You for being God and God all by Yourself. We determine and resolve to bless You no matter what may be going on. We resolve to give You glory.
Yes, God.
To give You praise.
Yes, God.
And to give You honor.
Yes, Lord God.
On this most blessed day, we thank You for being our God, and we lift You.
Yes, Lord God.
We exalt Your name. We lift You above all of our circumstances, all of our problems, above our issues, above our setbacks. We lift You up today. Many of us have been through enough stuff in life to know that You're going to take care of it. And we ought never rob You of Your praise and Your worship. Now, good God, we need to hear from You. And I pray now, dear Lord, by Your Spirit, by Your power, You'll share with us what You have for us to know, that we may be better, may be stronger,
yes, God.
May be more aware, more conscious, more sober-minded, more spiritual-minded,
yes, Lord.
That You have called us to be. Help us to be different when we leave this place than we were when we entered. And we promise to give You the praise and the glory. In Christ's name we pray.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory to God. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the things He has done. He's done great and mighty things.
Yes, Lord.
And we ought to bless His holy name.
Yes,
To all of our ministers and to our ministry leaders and to all of you, my Father's children, we greet you today in divine love on this blessed Sunday morning. God has said yes to us being here once again, and we don't take that for granted today. God bless you. So good to see you. To those who are online today, we thank God for you. We thank God for this day. Amen. Be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged, my sister.
Yes, God.
If you receive that word today, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. You just got to hold on. You got to hang in there. It's going to work out.
Yes, God.
Amen. Amen. There's a word from the Lord that we want to teach today from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 14. St. Luke chapter 14. Thank God for our music ministry blessing us today. Amen. Amen. Luke's gospel, chapter number 14. And we want to commence reading at verse number 15, if you're the following. Luke chapter 14. We'll begin at verse number 15. Word of God reads thusly. And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. First said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. Well, time that is ours together this morning, beloved, I want to share with you from this thought, guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who's coming to dinner? We take this subject from the 1967 film starring Sidney Poitier and Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, as these two Caucasian couple, this married couple, man and wife, who were considered to be very liberal in their thinking, very progressive in their thinking, found out they were not in the good shape they thought they were in, because their daughter fell in love with a man some 14, 15 years her senior. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was she fell in love with a black man, a character played by Sidney Poitier. The movie takes us through journeys when they had to realize they're not who they thought they were. And maybe it took somebody being invited to dinner to show them who they're not, as opposed to who they are. Church, I'm concerned today that many of us who come up the hill and log on and tear down the doors, we are not who we think we are. And God is preparing to invite somebody to dinner to show those of us who call ourselves Rev and Bishop and Deacon and brother and sis, going to show us who we are not. And we've got a chance to grab on to what God wants to do, but if we don't change our attitude, change our perspective, change our disposition, and change our approach, we're going to be in Katharine Hepburn and, and Spencer Tracy's shoes and still be wondering what happened when somebody comes to dinner. Our text this morning, beloved, Jesus is preparing, is trying, is doing the best he can to bring about what we know as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, my friends, is that institution. It is that mindset. It is that condition when God rules, reigns, and has regency. It is when the people of God start acting like God. The people of God start living like God. The people of God start obeying the word of God and live righteous living. That's not based upon you being in church, not based upon you getting one day out of a week and saying you're giving God some time. That's not kingdom of God. But kingdom of God is when you honor God every day of your life. Honoring God, there is a kingdom that's present and there is a kingdom that's coming. We're in preparation for the Lord to come back, his second coming. But there's some kingdom here on earth. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have told us in that model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I believe this morning that you can have some kingdom right here on earth. I believe that lives can be changed right here on earth. I believe that souls can be saved right here on earth. I believe that destinies can be altered right here. I believe that a drug user can become a deacon. I believe that a prostitute can become a preacher in the kingdom of God. All kind of things can happen in the kingdom of God. But it's some people blocking it. It's some people who are in the table, who are in the house, who are blocking God's progress. And God said, I'm going to start inviting people to dinner because somebody going to want it. Let me tell somebody while I'm parked right here, the party ain't going to stop. Now, some of y'all just may not be invited, but the party is not going to stop. God will get his glory. God will be honored. God will be reverenced. God will be worshipped. You may not ever want to do it, but God will get his glory. Lives will be changed. Somebody's soul will be saved. Somebody's destiny will be altered. Somebody will be healed. Somebody will be delivered. Somebody will be set free. It may not be you or me because we sit up in here like we don't need nothing. We come here like that God need us, but it's somebody who's going to be invited to the house because I still testify the party will not stop. You ain't got to praise him. He's still going to be God. You ain't got to lift him. He's still going to be God. Whether you believe in him or not, he is still going to be God. The party won't stop. Guess who's coming to dinner? Chapter 14, beloved, the Bible said that they are in a Pharisee's house having dinner. And Jesus understood that he was invited to this Pharisee's house because of a setup. Because Jesus understood he had some conflict with the Pharisees because the Pharisees had a problem with his messiahship. They had a problem with his, they didn't have a problem with him being Jesus, but they had a problem with him saying to be the Messiah, the chosen one. And they were on a mission to try to devalue him. They were on a mission to diminish him. They're on a mission to make him not be who he's called to be. So what they do is they invite him to a house, invite him to a supper to try to set him up. Not only do they invite Jesus, but they invite this man who has something called dropsy. Can the church say dropsy? It's what we would call today edema, when he has enormous excessive swelling in his extremities. He is swollen. He's got an infection somewhere and it's causing him to swell. And the text says that it's a Sabbath. And everybody knows that on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to do any work. And so they invited Jesus to dinner and they invited a sick man to see what Jesus is going to do. If he heal the man, he breaking the law. If he don't heal the man, he don't care. I'm going to try it again. If he brings in a sick man, they bring in Jesus and try to set Jesus up and see what he go do. Ain't that a shame how people will invite you to church, will invite you to worship, will invite you to the things of God just to try to set you up, just to try to make you not be who God has said for you to be. Ain't that a shame, y'all? I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't going to get no higher than this. I'm going to come and teach today. I got to come challenge some of this stuff. So the Bible says somebody will invite you just to set you up. They invited Jesus and then invited this sick man who ain't bothering nobody. He's got what they call edema or dropsy. Jesus says first, Jesus understood what they were doing. Can I bless somebody real quick? When you let God have rule of your life, when you let God have control of your life, he will prepare you. He will prepare you for enemy plots. He may not prevent you from going to him,
but he will prepare you for them jokers trying to set you up. So Jesus says, I know what y'all are trying to do. So before he does anything, he asks a question. What would be right to do? Since y'all want to put me on the spot, let me put y'all on the spot. He says, what would be right to do? Would it be right to deliver this man or let him stay in bad shape because it's the law? He says, now watch y'all, that when y'all work animals fall into a hole, you will go and get them. You will do some work to protect your money, but you won't do a thing to protect the ministry.
My God. My God.
I told you I ain't getting no higher than this, so you might as well go and go to sleep. Jesus says, because y'all don't understand it, I'm going to heal this man. Y'all try to set him up, I'm going to set him up. Y'all trying to set me up, I'm going to bless him. Now what they go do? Bible says they go forward, and Jesus began to teach about humility. He began to teach that it's better because he noticed that at this table, at this dinner banquet, the Pharisees' house, you had some wannabes. I encourage you to read chapter 14 in your lead. You ever seen wannabes? People ain't worth 15 cents, but they want to be somebody. Therefore, they try to sit high. And Jesus noticed that these people were trying to sit at the high seat, and they got a low mindset. And Jesus says it's better to be asked up than to be sat down. That's a word of warning to somebody who's trying to be somebody ain't got nothing in you. But it's what's better to be asked up somewhere than to be sat down and be embarrassed. You didn't like that? They didn't like it either. So he goes further. He talks to the host now. And he says to the host, he says, from now on, stop inviting people who go pay you back. If you really want to honor God, bless people who can't bless you back.
That's good.
There's no power in helping folk who go give it to you right back. But can you help somebody who you know cannot and will not be able to do something? That's real God. That's real church. That's real Christianity. That's real kingdom. God deliver us from people who always got to get a get back when they do something. If you go tell me all you had to use and all your stuff you had to utilize, keep your stuff. If you got to sit there and complain about all you had to go through to do what you do for us, I'm asking you right now, keep your stuff and stay at the house. I want somebody that says, I'm not doing this because of you. I'm doing it because I honor God. I don't care what I get out of it. I'm just glad that I got breath in my body to be able to do anything God lets me do. God gave me this gift. God gave me this talent. And I'm not going to let your mess, I'm not going to let your stuff cause me not from giving God my best. Can anybody in Zion today say, I don't do what I do for people. I do what I do with people. I do what I do for the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Can I minister real quick? I know I'm going to teach, but can I minister? I know they don't appreciate you. I know they don't say thank you. I know they try to walk all over you. But if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, be not dismayed when men won't believe you. He'll understand. You know what he's going to say? He'll say, well done. That's what I'm working for, y'all. I'm working for a well done.
Yes, Lord.
That's how I want kingdom to be, when you're doing this as unto the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're doing what you do for your kingdom, you'll never get none out of it. But when you do what you do for the kingdom of God, I promise you, you will feel better every time you do it. You will come in tired and leave energized when it's kingdom. You will come in empty, but you'll leave full when it's kingdom. But if you come in with that mess, it's because you won't mess. When you come in dirty, you're going to leave dirty. But when you come in with an honest approach that God, here I am, use me any way you want to use me, you will never leave empty. He's teaching about humility, and he's teaching, telling the host, if you go host somebody, host people who need it. Not folk who go give it right back. Anybody can do that. So this one gentleman sitting at the table reclining who just happened to be there that day. I'm going to try it again. This one gentleman who's at the table at supper just happened to be at the table that day. Had the nerve to try to cut the teaching. Because Jesus is teaching. And when you know how people are when the Lord talking, They want to stop the Lord from talking, so they'll talk. So this man go say, blessed is the man. Blessed are they who will be able to eat this supper and be in the kingdom of God. He's talking about down the road. The Jesus talking about now. But deep folk can't deal with now. They always worried about down the road. They can't be nice now, but then they go praise God in eternity. I got some rude news for you. If you can't be nice to folk now, I don't even know if you're going to see the Lord thereafter. Because what kind of hell you got in you now that you think God go cleanse it out of you on the thereafter? I better leave that alone. This gentleman says he just happened to be there that day in a place of privilege. He is, I'm not making this up, he is the equivalent of church folk. Who ignore people, who ignore God, who ignore ministry, but they're working on the building. He's the equivalent of church folk who don't think it's their duty or privilege to do anything, but because they save, they don't care about anybody else. They don't help nobody. You know why? They never leave their seat. I'm not getting no higher, so if you're waiting on me, get higher. I talked to the Lord about this. And me and the Lord have been talking real hard. It's no point, and I'm working on it. Ain't no point me killing myself, sweating through shirts and suits, and y'all stay the same. So sometimes you got to give yourself a tune-up, an oil change, and you got to know how to preserve the engine. I ain't killing myself behind nobody. Uh-huh. If you can't stay woke, that's your business.
Uh-huh. All right.
Guess who? Uh-huh. Y'all ready? Let's begin. Let's look at the invitation extended. The invitation extended. Jesus gives a parable here. He gives this parable. And Jesus gives the parable to the joker who just got through making that statement. Oh, blessed is the man. Blessed are they who get to sit and eat supper at the Lord's table in the kingdom of heaven down the road. You ain't even scoot over for somebody right now. But you just glad you got a seat at the table. And instead of you dealing with the fact you're not humble, instead of dealing with the fact you don't know how to be a good host, you want to try to deflect and get deep. I'm trying again, y'all. Because what sense do it make to interrupt Jesus? So Jesus gives him a parable to teach it. He teaches this parable, and he says, there was a man, a host, who wants to have a great feast, a party, a dinner. That host represents God. He has gone through the labor. He is going through the expense. He's going through all that's necessary, the effort to prepare a feast for his invited guest. That invitation, my friends, is an invitation to you and I to salvation, to righteousness, to a better way of living, to improvement, to wellness, to prosperity, to enhancement. It's an invitation that the Lord makes to us every single day. Thank God for extended invitations, that he extends the invitation. He has his servant say, go get my folk first. Because surely, my people want to come break bread with me. It represents Israel. Because Israel at the time was God's people. And surely, God's people want what God got for them. Surely. Surely the ones who come to church want something better. Surely the ones who got baptized want to be righteous. Surely the ones with these robes and these I love my church shirt, surely they ain't got no problem. Anytime the Lord calls, they go answer. Surely. Y'all got your Bible open? A certain man made a great supper. He did the cooking. Ain't potluck. He already prepared it. Don't bring nothing but you. Oh, I'm trying. Don't bring nothing but you. Stop worrying about church clothes. Just come. Yeah. I know you were drunk. Come on. I know you sinned last night. Come on. I know you got some mistakes. Come on. I know they lied on you. Come on. I wish I had somebody. I know everything wrong with you, but I still want you to come on. And if you come on in the house and sit at the table, people ain't gonna know what's wrong with you when you're at the table. Is there anybody who can thank God today that when I'm in the house of God, sitting at the king's table, he covers what's wrong with me, and sometimes I look just like everybody else? Come on, give God praise that God invited you for salvation and you answered. Hallelujah. Flaws and all. Mm-hmm. You can't earn your salvation. You can't preach your way to righteousness. You can't shout your way on in. And see, this is how come some of us can't get it. Because we know when we invite folk, they got to meet a criteria. Everybody can't come to your house, can they? Isn't it funny how anybody can come to God's house? Anybody can come to God's house. Liars, there's room for liars. There's room for gamblers. There's room for cheaters. There's room for mess makers. That's how come you sitting up here now, because he done made room for you. See, if everybody knew what was wrong with you, you wouldn't even come up in here right now. And God got, this is how good girl God is. God know you wouldn't go say amen. God know you ain't going to do right and still gave you a Sunday morning. He know you don't halfway mean what you be saying. He know you just here called this Sunday and the Lord still put breath in your body and let you come in here with your won't say amen, fake praising, fake church self. But your house, your car, only certain ones, welcome. And got the nerve to have a welcome mat. Lord Ham. Got a welcome mat, and you know good and well, everybody. You would be better off getting you a mat stitched with who can. Go and get you a motorcycle, because ain't nobody welcome in your car. Go and get you a one-seater, because can't nobody stunt but you. Just buy one pot, one skillet, one glass, one plate, one salsa, one fork, one spoon, one knife, because you ain't cooking for nobody but you. Don't buy no large pizza. Get a personal pan. But the Lord says, I'm doing the cooking. I'm doing the preparation. It's my house, and I can invite who I want. That means, church folk, I don't have a right to put my mouth on who the Lord say can come. Oh, man. Look here, y'all. Look here. That means, y'all, every now and then, the Lord go invite somebody you don't like. What you go do? What you go do when the very joker you can't stand come to the same church you go to? As a matter of fact, I'm going to be a real pastor. It's going on right now. It's somebody in this house right now you can't stand, and you're doing all you can to avoid them, and they keep on coming Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, day after day, and you can't stand them because you were here first, and you don't feel like they should be able to come in where you had dibs on it. But baby, this ain't your house. This ain't your deed. The Lord got his name on it. He sent his own son to die for our sins, so you can't keep me out. I don't care what you do. Get over it. Build a bridge. Because you're going to miss out on dinner being bitter. You're going to miss out on what God got for you looking around who all there. Well, she shouldn't be here. You either.
Right. Ooh. That's right. That's right.
Look what he said. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. You know what that word many mean? More than one. You know what that mean? It ain't your church. I don't care if your mom and daddy was on the cornerstone. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Tell them I said it. Some people have a sense of entitlement because their grandma and great-grandpa was here when we started. Well, if they were heavy and you light, now, Jesus already told you, he already told you, didn't, that it's better to be axed up than to be sat down. Some of us are going to get in a world of trouble barging in areas we ain't been invited to. You may have been invited to the house, but in certain seats you ought not sit in. London, I'm doing all right so far, man? All right. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that we're bidden, come on, because things are ready. That's scary to me, because if he's saying, tell them to come on now, that means that the invitation won't last forever. Don't miss the Bible reading the Bible. He says, come, because now things are ready. Y'all come when you feel like it. It may not be invitation. Come when you get your life together. That may be too late. Who am I talking to today? Who am I talking to who keep procrastinating with your own soul, saying, I'm going to do this before I get myself to God. I'm going to get that together before I get my life with God. Let me get a couple more dollars. Let me get a church shirt. Let me get some church pants. Let me get some church shoes. Let me get my life right. Can I tell the truth? I'm your pastor, and I ain't got my life right. That's why I need the Lord. And all these jokers who looking at you deep, they ain't got their life together either. Every last one of us in here messed up some kind of way. But I know one thing. The Lord ain't going to miss me. He going to tell me get out because I'm not leaving his presence for nothing in the world. The Lord going to put me out because I'm going to be ready when the Lord say you're ready. Yes, Lord. Keep waiting on them to die, and they keep coming back. I know where I am. Y'all waiting on certain ones not to be around and waiting on certain ones not to be in position. Baby, it's about Jesus. If people ain't save me, people can't hinder me. Because he says, tell them to come on now. It's just like what Big Mama say. You better come on now while your food hot. It ain't gonna no good when it get cold. Now here's the problem. If you go look at the Bible, you gotta study it the right way, okay? So we're looking at the invitation extended. Let's look at the invitation extinguished. Meaning that the fire is gone, destroyed, decreased, diminished, erased. The invitation gets erased, not by the host, by the ones he invited. Right. Here's the problem. Y'all got your Bible open? If he invited and still cooked, that meant y'all told him yes. Y'all know how people ask you to RSVP? So you can get a head count. If you told them you coming, you have to RSVP. That way they already got you an account when they prepare whenever they go be at the party. I'm going somewhere. In the day of Jesus, there were two invitations. One was extended weeks before the event. And then the other one was given the day before the event. What happened in our text, brothers and sisters, is that weeks ago, they told the host, we coming. But he sent his servant out because he said, now it's ready. Okay, try again. Try again. There are two aspects of the invitation. One was weeks prior to the event. That's when you're going to RSVP. Hey, I'm having a feast. I'm having a dinner. I want you to come. I want you to come experience and enjoy what I got for you. I'm coming, Lord. Then to get closer to the day. And he invites you again. Don't forget, tomorrow is ready. Come on. Well, got quiet, then got right there.
That's good.
Most of us accept the invitation to Christ because we know it's the right thing to do. But when it gets close to when you have to make a commitment, you try to bail out. And it would have been better to tell him no the first time. You done told him yes, and now he's counting on you to show up.
Yeah.
It's such a nice idea that's going to just blow him off. I'll tell the Lord, yeah. Yeah, I love you. I came to that funeral, and I came, and I got my heart was broken. I'm grieving, so I came and said, I want to see Jesus. I want to meet Jesus because I'm grieving. I'm emotional. But the emotion wore off. I done put my T-shirt on. I'm eating chicken and potato salad. And I feel a little bit better now than I did at that funeral. And so the Lord say, what about church tomorrow? It was a good idea at the time to say yes because I was in a point whereas I didn't have to face it. But now, he ain't left me alone. He actually invited me. I never really thought he was serious about me. Some of y'all don't think the Lord is serious about you because you ain't serious about you. You take yourself for a joke, so you feel like the Lord took you for a joke. You never thought that the Lord would say, you said you want me. I don't play by my love. I don't play by my kindness. I don't play by my favor. I don't play by my joy. I don't play about my deliverance. I don't play about my healing. I don't play about saving your soul. You mean tell me y'all was playing me? That's what God asking. You mean tell me you was playing me? You cried out to me in trouble. I gave you an appointment to meet me for better. And now I'm saying, come on, everything ready. And you gonna give me excuses. First responder says, I just bought some land. And I need to go look at it. Wait a minute. Ain't that much change in Jesus' day. And what kind of sense do it make to buy land you ain't seen? He says, I bought some land. I need to go look at it. Well, I got a couple questions. One, you done bought some sight unseen. And two, why you got to go today?
Right.
If it's yours, it'll be there.
That's right.
I got in anybody's neighborhood yet? Now you want to put your possessions in front of me. And don't even think about who made it possible for you to have what you have. But now when I want to have something deeper with you, you go put the very thing I blessed you in between us.
Wow. Wow.
I ain't going nowhere. Now, you bought it, ain't looked at it. Now, I got to sit here and accept the fact that you say, please excuse me, because I got to go watch my stuff. And I believe y'all. A lot of us this morning, our stuff is more important than our Savior. I'm here most times Monday through Friday afternoon. Come see me if you're mad. I'm not doing nothing but teaching you Bible. Because I ain't really got to the bad part yet. Stuff. Now, you knew you wanted to buy some land when you accepted my invitation. But you ain't tell that land no. But you told the Lord no. number one. Excuse number two. Well, see, I bought some new cattle. That's new cattle, new oxen and cattle, and I need to try them out. Question number two again.
Right.
You mean tell me you done bought animals and ain't tried them out? Expensive as animals were in this day, as cattle were, you went and bought them, and now on this day that I invite you to better, now you got to work your job. This is the picture of career advancement. Because I want to have more.
Right.
I'm trying to work more. And so I can't come to church. Can't come to Bible study. Can't be in ministry because I got work. Well, your question to me is, well, dog, preach what I'm supposed to do. I got to work. You do. So why did you answer yes to the invitation the first time? If that job was more important than Jesus, why did you tell Jesus no and the job yes? See, don't be getting mad at the church for asking you to be here when you said you're going to be here, and then when you don't show up, you get attitude when we ask you where you's at. Because you told us, you put your name down, you said I'll be here, and now we ask you, don't be asking me what I'm doing. I'm grown. I got my own life. Tremaine, can you hear me pretty good? Okay, I'm just making sure. Now, I guess the Lord will be okay because you done said job. Some of the stuff you signed up for, it wasn't a part of your work. It's just an easy way out from committing yourself. You prayed, had us pray with you for Monday to Friday. And you know the lie they told Tate? So I can be at church more. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into covenant prayer with my brothers and sisters that God will open up something that you will be able to be in ministry more. God, do it. You on the same schedule. And then ask the host, excuse me. I know I had told you yeah before, but I got this new stuff I got to work. So please, excuse me. I'm still talking about the invitation extinguished. You see how they'll take the fire out? I ain't even said nobody's name here. And the fire out. This is the most scared I done been in 13 years of pastoring. And I'm going to preach some humdingers behind this sacred desk. This might be my most dangerous one ever. I ain't call y'all name. And you want to go, Shanice, play something. Not, I ain't mean play nothing. Excuse number one. Excuse number two. And excuse number three. I just got married. And we got to go on our honeymoon. That's the picture of this. You study it. I'm on my honeymoon. And you know what's funny about this one? He ain't asked to be excused. I'm going with my wife. I'm going with my husband. Question. When y'all took those vows, who you took them in the presence of? Who had to sanction it? Who had to bless it? So you mean to tell me he sanctioned it, now you got to pay for it? He bring y'all together, y'all don't see him no more. Can I tell you a 21st century lie? My family is my number one ministry. 'Cause twist up the Bible, because if you can't take care of your own home, how you going to take care of the house of God? I'm going to make y'all 38 hot right here. Can I tell you why? Your number one ministry ain't your family. It's you and God. For nothing shall separate you from the love of God. So how you gonna let Bay separate you from loving God? Talk to me if you can. Now you don't fool with him any other day of the week but Sunday. He wanna go out to eat Sunday. She wants some quality time Wednesday evening. Rest of the week, y'all and you in one wing of the building, he in the other wing of the building, y'all never the twain shall meet. But when it's time for the things of God, hey, I want your time. Jokers who ain't come to church want to throw the Bible on you about you how you love God. Hey, I'm your king. Look here, man, Jesus is my king. You my husband. You the Lord of this house. But don't belly that long. They'll try to throw the Bible on you so you stay home. And then you stay home, they leave. I'm teaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. And now you're in here confused, wondering if you're doing the right thing. Because they have manipulated you with your mind so you won't do no better because they're trying to really come between you and God. I'm not telling you to divorce them. I'm not telling you to leave them. I'm telling you if they go mess with you and God, you don't need no red flag. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I can't come. Do y'all see that? In other words, because I'm married to her, I can't give me you. I'm marrying somebody who's taking me from you, God. Have I made this up? These relationships we have that keep you occupied but not productive.
Jesus. That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Y'all go force me to do this. Check my time. Y'all go force me to do this, huh? That's how you go play me. All right. Since y'all go play me like that. It's people that's your problem not for giving God more. One of two ways it done went. Either it went so good, you ain't coming, or it's so bad, you won't.
That's good.
Because you got into it with somebody in the fellowship. And that's keeping you away from God.
Right.
Now, guess what? Can I tell you none of them lies they tell me off the mouth? Well, I can just praise God at home by myself. Question. You got a gas pump at your house? That means you got to go to a gas station sometime. Being in church don't make me a Christian. Being at home don't either. Somebody say excuses. Now, yours may not be these three. What's your excuse today? It's keeping you from giving God more of you. Now, I want you to really think about this. I'm going to give you a few moments to think about it because you really done built yourself up for this. Some of y'all work real hard on y'all's excuses. And you're really kind of indignant right now because this man done tore down every excuse because you start believing it. That's a good one to use right there. Will it be cold and I'm anemic?
people and they're hypocrites. Okay. Question. A hypocrite is somebody who's pretending to be somebody or not. Does that change the fact you need Jesus?
That's right. It does not change.
Just like it don't change the fact that hypocrites got to go to Max and get groceries.
That's right, Pastor.
Liars need some greens. Whoremongers need light bread. I came to eliminate these dumb excuses we're making, not giving God more. Because we're not getting in trouble with people, we're getting in trouble with the God who invited us to something better. I'm trying to help you change your eyes and stop saying you're trying to point for the people. I'm talking about you and God, not this mess we got going with people. Because God ain't done us wrong. People may have. And I've learned that if you let God handle them, God will handle them, but I ain't got no excuse not to give God the very best I got. Has anybody learned how to ignore that and go beyond that, go around that, go through that, and God will take care of you? God will provide in the presence of your enemy.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Stop making excuses. Oh, all the church wants your money. No, I mean, we need the offering. You got to keep the lights on. But if you ain't got no money, if I put anybody out who ain't got no money? And some of y'all got it and don't give it. But you let the culture tell you stuff. Yeah, all they want is your money. What you think we make it off of? Peas? It's going to take money. There may be meat in my storehouse. I can't run from that. That's in the word. That's scripture. And if you teach it right, you ain't ashamed to say, give, pay your tithe, give your offering. Give as you feel need. How you see God is how you go give. That's Bible. I teach you that. I don't tell you how much of a seed to give. You know how good God been. And your giving ought to be lined up to that. I ain't running from that. We're going to have an offering up in here. Somebody say amen in the house of God. We ain't going to do no offering. We is too. We got a mayor who's a member of this church. He'll cut us off grinning. We won't pay that bill. What you want me to do? Cut us off. Have I lied to y'all yet? Don't y'all go tell nobody I lied to y'all. All your excuses we're letting people use, they be riding. But I got a question. The same church you don't want to give to, somebody die. You want to get married? I want to get married in my church. Your church? Yeah, you remember I joined. I got baptized. You got no water. I really want to go somewhere, but y'all can't. Y'all already so mad at me, y'all don't know. But I might, if I'm in there, though. It almost be the threat to forge letters for the cemetery. Ain't halfway come to church, now you want a free plot. Here's a hint. If you got to tell me, you remember? You know I'm a member now. If you gotta tell me that. Because I pride myself on being a pretty personable guy. And I know my sheep. I know my goats too. Somebody say amen. You would have to put so much mustard on the hot dog if you cook it right. Sometimes you put too much dressing on stuff because ain't no substance. And you gotta put all this on there. You know I love. No, you don't. You just need us.
Let me tell you something. If you commit, you ain't got the front. One thing I can say about this house of believers, we will take care of ours. I need about three people who can testify. You've been a beneficiary. That your church that you're associated with will take care of you when you do, when you connect it. Are you going lie right? I cannot count the pieces of chicken, Lonnie, can we? If we know, we gonna be there. Stop lying. Can I say it on air? Stop lying on your church that's been good to you, but you've been bad to it. Now, just because we don't put up with your mess don't mean we don't love you. And we reserve the right every now and then to say no. And you better be glad I don't put something in front of the no. Can y'all feel the urgency in God's voice today? Y'all souls on the line playing around. You can't treat God like he's just some cosmic genie when you need him, fool with him. You got to commit yourself to God. And you'll learn something. I need about three people just to stand with me right now. Three real believers. That when you give your life to God, he don't change your personality. You still have fun. You still can enjoy life. You still can go to the ball game. You still can eat cake and ice cream. Being saved don't mean you staunch like a starched shirt. Ain't no stained glass window up in here, everybody floating around in here. Ain't nothing like that. Everybody in here messed up. We just loving God. Amen. Well, everybody but me. Amen. I'm all right, but I'm trying to get y'all there. The servant came, showed the Lord. Showed his Lord those things. Then the master got mad. And he got it right. Because look what it cost me. Y'all, it cost God his only begotten son. It cost him everything. The monogenes, his only begotten. We're not the same. We're of a kind. Christ was the only one like him. God gave the best he had that we might just come in. And you mean tell me we that sorry? We that selfish? We that complacent? We that rude? Because good manners ought to tell you. When somebody do something for you, they ain't got to do. Least you can do, say thank you.